Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Hedgesburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to our broadcast this morning. Please tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also have a TV program that airs right after this program from 8 to 8:30 on Public Access Channel number 6 entitled Searching the Scriptures. Please give it a look. Let us know what you think. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchristatharrisburg.com. You'll find many valuable resources that will aid you in your study of God's Word. Please give it a look. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the regular meeting times of our Bible study periods and worship periods at the Hedgesburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You will always be warmly received. We only have one desire, to show you need for God in your life and to have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ, who died for your sin. If we can help you with your spiritual walk with God, please do not hesitate to call upon us. In the past few weeks, we have been examining the book of 1 Peter. We have already discussed the introduction of looking at the life of Peter. We have discussed the contents of chapter number 1, and we are in chapter number 2, beginning in verse number 4. But before we begin that, let me give a little introduction about a lesson that we'll begin today in this particular chapter of a very important lesson that we need to understand and that we need to have a good grasp of the meaning. One of the things that keeps us from shunning our sins and growing up, and that's something we talked about last week in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, is a failure to appreciate what a privilege and honor it is to be the people of God. All too often we take this for granted, and we don't realize the great blessing that it is. We picture the life of a Christian as limited and restrictive, rather than granting privileges beyond our wildest imaginations. It is easy for those of us in second and third generation Christians to treat the concept of who we are and what we are as not being a very big deal. That is a mistake, and I'm afraid that's a mistake that many people make, and many people don't appreciate the life that they have in Christ or the responsibilities that that life brings. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 10, and we're going to spend some time in discussing these verses, describes a very unique relationship that we have as those who have been born into the family of God. He is portraying those who are born again, those who have obeyed the Word of God through their obedience to the Word that we studied in 1 Peter 1, 22 and 23. Those who have the hope of heaven that we discussed in chapter 1, verse 3 through 12, and those who are striving to live holy lives, as we discussed earlier in chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. If this passage, Peter sets forth the nature and the function of the church. In this, he tells us more than just the fact of it. He tells the conditions of this relationship. He tells the description of how unique this relationship is. He tells us the privilege that this relationship brings to us. And he tells us what it demands of us. Why is this so important for us to understand? It pictures something that neither the Jew nor the Gentile had ever experienced. The Jews had been God's special nation, yet if they must give their Jewish religion up to be a Christian, does not mean that they are no longer His chosen people. The answer is, they just mean more. The Gentile, he had no special relationship with God up until this point. Yet now he can have what the Jews had and even have something greater. To be no different than a Jew, to be on equal plane, to be on equal standing spiritually with the Jew. To us, we get a grasp of how unique our position before God is, then we will want to enter it, if we're not already in it, and we'll want to maintain it and not do anything to lose it. And we want to fulfill any obligation that's enjoined to us to do and to live the kind of life and to be the kind of people that would be pleasing and acceptable to God. And so we want to read this morning, first of all, the text about this unique relationship. It begins in verse 4 and goes down through verse number 10. coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also are living stones, are being built up in a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And so what we see in these verses is we see some prophecy, but we also see the unique relationship that we enjoy in Christ Jesus. In verse 6 through 8, we see belief and obedience. Accepting Christ is our faith. Obedience to the word is what enables us to do that. It's contrasted with disobedience. Disobedience to the word is opposite of being obedient to it. It's a continual approaching. Beyond the initial coming, it's a continual approach. It's suggested that we keep on coming to him, indicating a close and habitual approach and an intimate association with our Savior. It's a continual drawing near to him evermore. It's continuing believing by the actions of our lives and the conduct of our lives. And we continually try to be examples and influences of good to those that we come in contact with. Now again, let us look again at verse number 4. A living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God as precious. Now in that passage, he's talking about the Son. The Son was a living stone. He was rejected by men. The Jewish hierarchy and the religious leaders of the day rejected Jesus because he wasn't what they thought he should be. He did not offer them what they were assuming was going to come from God. That is a physical kingdom and a physical king. He did not offer that, so they rejected him. But even though he was rejected by men, he was chosen by God. He was chosen by his Father. And he was precious to God and loved by God, and God sent him here in order to redeem sinful men because they were not able to redeem themselves. Now, since those facts are true, we see beginning in verse 5, he begins a description of the relationship. It begins by saying that we are living stones. We are a spiritual house, stones in a building, built upon the living and true cornerstone, in verse 5. We are a spiritual building, the temple made of the living materials redeemed by men. Christ is the chief cornerstone of this building. Living is opposed to dead and lifeless material. He is alive to die no more. He imparts that life to the whole building. He is the author of that life, and he is the one that makes it possible that we can be part of that life. Chosen by God, he's considered to be of value and precious because he belongs to the Father. The cornerstone, selected with care, solid, large, laid with ceremonies. The purpose was in order the foundation might be built upon. It unites two walls that holds things together. Men rejected it. Men turned aside from it. They threw it away. First reference is to the unbelieving leaders of the Jews. Read Matthew 21, verse 42, and Mark chapter 12, and verse 10. As a stonemason examines stones, considers its interior worthless, he cast it aside. That's what they did to Jesus. They cast him aside because he was not what they wanted, only to leave in its way something to fall over it. It says that we are living stones. As for none are the source of life as Christ is, but only have life in connection to Christ. As stones laid in the building, our union with the cornerstone makes us living stones. We are living stones, alive and active, because of our relationship and connection to the chief cornerstone. We need to understand that. We are connected to the chief cornerstone. And we understand that that's possible through Jesus Christ. Now, in verses 6 and 7, he quotes Isaiah 28 in verse 16 and Psalms 118, verse number 22. In these passages, those prophecies are quoted because they have reference to Jesus. They have a reference to what Jesus did in his coming. And notice in verse number 6, he's come, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect." Elected by who? Elected by God. Precious. "And he who believes on him will not be put to shame." And so if we accept that cornerstone, if we believe in him and we follow him, then we will not be put to shame. "Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious." He is precious to us. We understand that he paid for our sin. We know that he redeemed us. We know that we're saved through his blood. And so he is precious to us. But to those who are disobedient, to those who reject him, to those who reject his teaching, as the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. And it's a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble being disobedient to the word in which they were appointed. You see, to them, it has an opposite effect. Why? Because they are disobedient. They are disobedient to the word. Therefore, the preciousness of the stone cannot be understood or be accepted because they rejected that stone. They did not accept him for who he was. Many people today will not accept Jesus Christ. They will not accept him as the Son of God. They will not accept his word as authority that dictates and tells them the type of life they need to lead and what they need to do. And so they reject him. And when they reject him, just like the Jews in the days of the Lord rejected him, it put them at odds with God because he was the key. He was the linchpin to the whole plan. It was through him that all men were going to be saved. It was through him, as God told Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, that all men would be saved through the seed of Abraham. And that seed, according to Galatians 2:16, was one, and that seed was Jesus Christ. And so, in the beginning here, we see that we need to understand that Jesus was chosen to be the chief cornerstone. And if we want to be the kind of people that we need to be, that we're going to start studying about next week, we need to be attached to that cornerstone. We need to conform our lives to that cornerstone and accept his teaching and his word and be obedient to it so we can be effective and be the kind of people that he would have us to be. Next week, we'll begin looking at the definition given in Scripture of what kind of people we are and the privilege that we have of being his children. Please tune in again next week as we will begin and continue to look at this chosen generation and royal priesthood. Thank you. Have a blessed day.